Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It is a privilege to have the Masseys here. I want you to make sure and go by their table before you leave today. So excited about the shower afterwards. Excited about our Embrace Grace ministry and the ladies that we're reaching, their families. So exciting. And I do want to encourage you, if you only come at 11, you don't normally come to Connection Group, come early next week. Come at 10:30. Go right to the Fellowship Hall for the muffins. And then each Connection Group will dismiss at 10:30. And we'll all meet down there together and celebrate moms. If you've got a mother, you can invite them. If you've got a child, you can invite them. And we'll have a big time together next Sunday. Well, we went to the farm on Thursday. And I was the bus driver, and I think eight of our ladies went to Yoder Farms down in Rustburg, and they were picking strawberries, and I even picked a basket, had a big time. Well, that made me think about vision. And, you know, I've never met a farmer who didn't have vision. Those who make a living from the land understand what vision is all about. They always have. They know the principles. So day by day, season by season, year after year, they live their lives accordingly. They know how the law of sowing and reaping works. They have an idea of a vision for their farm and how to get it done. A farmer expects his crops to grow and multiply with a lot of hard work and a lot of strategic effort. How many would agree that farming is hard work? All right, some of y'all grew up on a farm, you know what I'm talking about. But farmers must work the soil, plant the seed, and pray for rain. God plays a major role in the success of farming. They care for the land that they have and then expand their fields so that the harvest will increase. I think farmers are truly brilliant. And boy, farmers have vision. Now, as I thought about that, and I thought about a God-given vision, Lakin Barnes has got it. Where are you at, Lakin? She's downstairs preparing for the shower. She came to me a few years ago, burdened for Embrace Grace and these ladies. And she got me excited about it. We got the church excited about it. And my, look what God has done in the last couple of years. And we praise the Lord. She had to see it before it became a reality. And that was given by God. It's not our vision. It's not our dreams. It's a God-given vision of what He already wants to do, but He uses human instruments to get the job done. Also, Kayla had vision. She was first introduced to sign language in the seventh grade by an English teacher whose parents were deaf. She was fascinated with deaf people. As she got around them, she was fascinated with deaf culture. So in college, she majored in sign language interpretation. After college, she felt like the Lord was calling her to use her sign language skills to share the love of Jesus with the deaf. She went on her first missionary trip with ICCD in 2011. And buddy, she went to Mexico and she said it was life-changing. God used it to lead her into full-time ministry in 2013. Kayla had to see it before it became a reality. Did she just dream it up herself and it was all her? Nope, it was from God. He had a plan for her life, but He utilized her and is still using her in His field today to get the gospel to the deaf. You know, too many Christians have little vision. Really, they have no vision for their marriage, so love and passion slowly fade away. There's no vision for their personal worship, so they get in a rut. There's no vision for their children, so whatever will be, will be. Do you know God has a plan for your children's lives? Y'all agree with that? Do you see it by faith? And Do you have a vision for your own personal life, your job, your ministry here at the church, just coming to be a part of our church? Do you have a vision for your personal worship, personal time with God? Realizing we cannot be successful in the work of the ministry unless we're successful in the prayer closet and having that personal relationship with the Lord. We got to have some vision. Many times, pastors have no vision. Churches have no vision. They're just content with us four and no more. But you know, God doesn't want us to be like that. Y'all know the popular scripture, Proverbs 29:18. Say it with me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. That's another way to say that. We have got to have the guidance of God to direct us, or else we're not going to make progress in our Christian lives. We've got to love the Word of God. And vision drives everything. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 18 through 20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Every one of us need to be concerned with what is God's call upon our personal lives. Not just the preacher, not just the missionary, not just the youth pastor. Every one of us has God's calling upon our life, and he wants you to know his will. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. I love that part right there. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Do you realize the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of every one of us? If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you got a stick of dynamite inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit's presence. And I think that needs to blow us away today to realize he gives us the ability to do his will. It's through his power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I got a couple definitions of vision. The ability to see something that is not. Yet it's so compelling that we know it is something that must be and something by God's grace will be. We had a dream a few years ago to buy a bus. How many were here for that? I think we've had that old bus 6 years now, 5 or 6 years. We got it at a great price. It doesn't have a lot of miles on it. It don't look the best, but hey, it works, amen? And we would take it on trips, day trips. Teens would take it to camp. We used it periodically. We even got a little shelter for it. We wanted to protect it from the elements. But it wasn't until recently that old bus has come in handy. These Embrace Grace ladies needed a way to get to church. And so me or Colton would go get them on Wednesday nights. And now they want to start coming on Sundays, and Colton got them this morning. I'll take them home this afternoon. By the way, if you feel led to help us with the bus ministry, we got a ministry now, amen? Every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. And if you feel led to help us, we sure could use it. And look, when I think about there's teenagers now that are coming. Some of Devin's friends need a ride. Pastor Colton, our bus captain, had 14 on the bus a couple Wednesday nights ago. It only holds 15, y'all. Isn't that wonderful, though? He picked up the Embrace Grace ladies, their kids, and some teenagers. God is working. But it started as a dream. Hey, I know God wants us to have a bus. I don't know how he's going to use it. But now it's a reality. We see how everything had to line up in place and how he fulfilled that vision. Here's another one. Vision shows us where you are. Listen. Reveals where God wants you to be and lights the road for us to get there. Did you get that? Shows us where you are, reveals where God wants us to be, and lights the road to get us there. It really brings focus to everything that we do. Our vision has been clearly laid out since day one. We reach people, win them to Jesus, disciple them, teach them how to have a relationship with God and how to worship God, add them to the fellowship to our church where they feel a sense of belonging and it feels like family, and then find a ministry for them to serve in. And then let's go reach more people. It's like a cycle. Did you get it? We reach people, we win them to Christ, we disciple them, teach them how to have a relationship with God, how to worship God, add them to the fellowship of our church, and then they find a ministry to serve in. Every one of us really needs to go through that cycle and then help others go through that same cycle. Vision comes from God. Vision belongs to God, not us. He has dreams and plans for our church. And I don't know why the Lord has gotten me on this subject the last 2 weeks. Because something may be about to happen. I don't know what's on the horizon. But I know He wants us to dream big. He's got plans for our church that are far beyond any of our expectations. And that's why the devil fights so hard to destroy churches. The devil wants us to be content with what we have. And to just go through the motions. Not start up new ministries like Embrace Grace. Too much trouble. No, that's what the devil wants, but man, the Lord has a plan for us. God is the one who drives the vision. Because He is the one who drives our lives. We must be surrendered. We must be submissive to Him. We've got to live like Jesus. See, my personal dreams, my personal desires, my personal vision must die. I need to have the same philosophy or the same prayer that Jesus prayed to His Father. Not my will, but thine. Do you have that when it comes to your family, your kids, your church, your ministry? Well, I've got big plans, preacher. Hey, unless they're a God-given vision, they're going to die. So we just need to give everything to the Lord. He will reveal what we need for our lives, our marriages, our families, our church. It can only be done if God does it. You know, for too long, we've seen what man can do. But recently, and I've seen it in the last 7 years being at Gospelite, we're seeing what God can do. Isn't that exciting? And new people come in every week, and they feel at home here because God is doing something in our midst. So a God-driven, God-dependent vision allows you to see it with faith eyes, not just facts. How many love facts, man? You're logical. You like to deal with the facts. You know what God wants you to do? Break open a little bit and trust Him by faith. Not just see the facts. Not just see the bottom line. Don't look at the bank account. But say, Lord, what would You have for us? And depend on His leading. Depend on His provision. Man, we've seen that at this church. And just really, we just need to pray, Lord, I want to see the supernatural. I want to see what You can do. Let's turn to Nehemiah. I'm going to tell this story real quick. As quick as I can. Nehemiah 1, 3 and 4. Nehemiah 1, and they said unto me, verse 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. There's trouble. It's disgraceful. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates, therefore, are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, mourned several days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I tell you, that's good advice. When you're in a mess, you got trouble in your life, go to Him, seek Him, fast and pray to the God of heaven. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? The king said to Nehemiah, I can tell you're deeply troubled. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. He's relaying the story that the walls and the gates are burned with fire in Jerusalem. He's telling the king this. Then the king said unto me, Nehemiah, for what dost thou make request? Woo, praise the Lord, God's in all this. The king says, how can I help you? Amen. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? When wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, hey, king, not only do I want off work and I want to get away for a while, but hey, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, the fortress of the temple, and for the walls of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He goes to the king, shares his burden, and buddy, the king is not only going to let him go, he's going to provide everything for him. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? Nehemiah is just one person. He's alone. He's standing before the king. He asked his favor. He asked freedom to do the unthinkable. Nehemiah believes God has called him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It's a dream. It's a vision. He's so heartbroken to hear the sad news. Nehemiah knows it might cost him his life. It will certainly cost him his life as he knows it. Still, Nehemiah has no other choice. He's just one person. He's alone. Now he says he wants to rebuild a wall. Listen, y'all, 3 foot deep, 16 feet high, 4.5 miles long, surrounding 960 acres. When you've heard this story in the past, did y'all realize it was that massive? I'm telling you, this was a job. Jerusalem, at that point, everyone was out to get them. By the way, it's still like that today. Have y'all noticed that? It hadn't changed. Jerusalem is still the target of so many. It was the place where the presence of God resided. It's where the temple was. Everybody wanted access to that piece of property. Now, Nehemiah, the cupbearer, a palace slave, thought he could take it. Now, y'all, that is impossible. But it's a call from God, not an option on his part. Just like God leading you here to this church, just like God leading me to this church, and we are together, it's a call, not an option. The people of Israel are scattered in exile. They have no place to worship. They're wandering in spiritual darkness. The future of his people, the people of God, depend on Nehemiah. He could have denied the call. Man, he could have stayed in his comfortable place in the palace. Or he could embrace the vision. He could see his people live, flourish, and worship the one true God. Now let me ask you, what is your dream this morning? What's your vision that God's given you? Is it for your kids? Is it for your business, your family, your connection group, our church, your ministry, your marriage, your job, your education? All I know is that within the heart of every child of God is the desire to do great things for God. I believe if you're really saved, you have a desire to do great things for God. You want to accomplish something. Amen? I don't want to get to judgment day and be empty-handed. So every one of us ought to be passionate about that. Finding what is God's given vision for us. The Holy Spirit that lives in our heart wants us to go forth, do big things for the cause of Christ. Now, Nehemiah's dream, when he heard the news about how Jerusalem was in ruins and ravaged, he took the matter to his knees. to his knees. I see a broken heart. I see weeping. I see begging. Do y'all realize that sometimes God-shaped dreams and sized dreams are revealed only after a little struggle and a little grief? I see four characteristics very quickly. Number one, I see passion. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. That means he tasted everything for the king that the king was about to eat or drink. He could have died any time when he went to work. How many would like to go to a place of work like that? And you could die at any time. You don't have to have the greatest personality or charisma, but you just got to have passion. Passion will sustain us. Number two, got to have some motivation. It comes from the movement of God in our lives. Walking with God in obedience to Him. You want to do great things for God, but you know it can only be accomplished by Him working through you. God is motivated by impossibility. Last week I said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are. So we'll make sure you're awake. Wake up. Man, God wants something bigger for you than you even can dream. It may seem small and insignificant to us or to everybody else, but do you have a God-sized vision? Look at chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Let's end this disgrace, people. Let's go back and let's rebuild the walls. Do you see some motivation? Do you see some passion? Look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good unto me. Can y'all say that this morning? Woo, God's been good to me. As also the king's words which he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let me just mention there, every time I've presented a God-sized vision for this church, hallelujah, almost everyone has always said, let's rise up and build. Let's keep going forward. Let's do what God wants us to do. Number three, I see discipline. Hey, when God gives you the vision, he's going to give you the discipline to see it through. He's going to let you see it come to pass. If you'll trust him rather than your own determination, he's going to see you through. Then number four, the vision is clearly defined. There's definition to the vision. God's vision is normally very clear, even if it's only revealed one step at a time. People with a vision from God can define it. They can speak about it. They can write it down in practical terms. God's vision or God's will, we can practically approach it in obedience. Before we attempt to do anything in God's work, we need to trust God to give us all four of these, because you're going to need them. You're going to need passion. You're going to need motivation. You're going to need discipline, and you're going to need definition. The vision needs to be clearly defined. Nehemiah shows what's required to follow through with God-sized dreams. Some are going to laugh and despise you. I won't have time to get into that. He had his enemies. Backslidden Christians are going to oppose your vision. Satan's going to fight. At times we're going to be fearful. Don't let it derail you off track. Just stay with it. When the Jews were being paralyzed by fear, they were being attacked by the enemy, Nehemiah gave some great advice. Look at Nehemiah, I won't read all this, but verse 14, Nehemiah 4. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sisters and your daughters, your wives and your children. In other words, don't be afraid of the enemy. Hey, stay strong in the power of his might. They completed the work. That's in Nehemiah 6. Then they praised the Lord that their vision became reality. Let's look at that real quick, and I'll skip some of this. Look at Nehemiah 9, 5 and 6. Stand up, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas, all that is in therein, and thou preservest them all. and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Hey, we need to praise God when he brings a God-sized vision into our lives or into our church, and then he accomplishes, he gets all the credit. We give him all the praise. Every day, put your armor on. Satan's going to fight. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Last week I preached on, Lord, give us your eyes. This week the Lord's led me to say, Lord, I just need a God-sized vision. I want a God's perspective, his viewpoint for my life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I was going to read this scripture in Proverbs, ran out of time, but I'll read it as we pray. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine heart observe my ways.